I believe with all my heart that we're living in a day of panic, a day of problems, where people are dealing with crisis on a daily basis. Trouble's coming. If it hadn't already got here, it's on its way. Somebody said, you're a prognosticator of gloom. No, I'm a preacher of reality. Because no matter who you are, how close you get to God, trouble's coming. Hello? I wish the TV preachers was right. And them TV preachers could tell us everything was okay. And everything was going to be okay. But it's not. They don't even have that privilege. My Bible said many are the afflictions of the Most High God. We have these things we have to deal with in this world. But in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, we are a command of God when faced with insurmountable odds. Notice what he said. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house with your presence. Minister to us, Father, with your power. And God, we will be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory for that we receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments, simply making the statement, don't panic, stand still. We got different ways of describing our predicaments. Some things like I'm in a pinch, I'm in a jam, I'm in a tight, I'm getting squeezed, I'm up a tree and I'm in a corner. Maybe it's hard pressed and I'm between a rock and a hard place. I have backs against the wall and I'm up a creek without a paddle. Doesn't matter how you describe it, when trouble comes, you realize it. And a lot of times you get to that place where you really don't know where to turn. I don't care who it is, there's going to come a time in your trouble when you're going to try to figure out which way is up and which way is out and how am I going to get there. I'll be honest with you, church, there have been times in my life when I didn't handle it well. I remember when the doctor told Frieda and I that she had cancer, and I went and got to the car, and we were expecting a good report, and it didn't come back good. And we were there at the car, and she looked at me and she said, I'm taking this better than you. And I'll never forget my answer to her in that parking lot. I said, you've not worked for somebody for 30-something years of your life and have them let you down. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt like somehow God had let me down in what was going on in our lives. And I spent several weeks mad at God and fussing at God and crying at God, trying to figure out how to get out of it. And then one day on an airplane, God spoke to me and said, it's not why are you where you are, but how are you going to deal with it? And can I tell you, it's not always why I got where I am. It's how am I going to deal with where I am. And the best way to deal with it is to do just what Moses told the children of Israel. First of all, don't fear, but stand still and understand that I am in the hand of God. And the God I serve has the power, the grace, and the glory to bring me out. Could you say amen? You may be on the brink of a personal Red Sea. The children of Israel have just thought they got a great deliverance. Amen. After 430 years of being slaves, they're free. And now they're free to do what? To go stand by sea and get destroyed by the very military that once ruled them. And they just don't understand why they are. You may be there. Somebody might be headed toward a nervous breakdown. Somebody in this church might be headed toward a marital breakdown, a financial breakdown, an employment breakdown. I'll be honest with you, if you're not sure whether you're getting a pink slip next week or not, that can bother you. Hello? And in the day in which we're living, nobody knows when that's going to happen. Physical breakdown. Man, you've been doing so good with your health, taking it for granted, and all of a sudden it starts to leave. Believe me, when it goes down, it goes down. These are just all of a sudden things. Next thing's going good and everything goes bad. You can have memory breakdowns. All of us had some of them. We call them senior moments. Vision breakdowns, where you need to call my daughter-in-law and say, give me some glasses or better glasses. Problem I got, life didn't just go to glasses. It went to bifocals and trifocals. Hello? And that's where we find ourselves. We all have our dilemmas. We've all been there. But listen to what Psalms 37 says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. As we're analyzing the great wonder God performed across the Red Sea, we must first see the landmark case, which God's greatness and his power. We're looking at a people who are standing on the brink of a dilemma and yet on the shores of deliverance. They're there about to be destroyed, but at the same time, they're about to be delivered by the hand of an almighty God who has all power, which is in heaven and in earth. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. Now, first of all, did you notice something? God directed them to where they are. They're not there by happenstance. They didn't just take a wrong road and end up there. They didn't suddenly lose control in their own star workout and they get on a back road and can't figure out how to get there. Amen. Some of y'all may not understand that now that we got tom-toms and different things to help us find our way. Amen. But if you ever make a trip to the right place, you'll find out some of them GPS don't work. You can get places where the trees block your signal and then you're in a mess if that's all you got to go by. Come on, church. But notice these people didn't get there that way. They were led by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. And God's taking them and he carries them up to the edge of that Red Sea and he stops them and he brought them right to where they are. And they're not there by accident. They're not there by happenstance. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you need to realize you are not where you are because you took a wrong turn. You're there because you're serving God. Could you say amen to that, church? Read the book of Hebrews. You'll find that there were people who were persecuted and chained and killed, not because they'd done something wrong, but because they were faithful to God. And if you're faithful to God, sometimes you're going to go through a fiery furnace. If you're faithful to God, sometimes you're going to end up in the lion's den. If you're faithful to God, sometimes you're going to hit a storm with him in the boat with you, and sometimes you'll hit a storm when he ain't in the boat. But what you've got to do is realize, I cannot panic. I've got to hold on, because the God I serve knows where I am, knows what's going on, and can deliver me with his power. Could you say amen? Someone called me the other day and asked me what my favorite verse of scripture is, and I gave him the generic version. Jeremiah 29:11. That's not really my favorite verse of scripture, but if I gave him the favorite verse of scripture, they'd sit there and look at me. Can you pop 2 Samuel 5:16 on the screen? That is my favorite verse of scripture. I'm going to give her a second because I just kind of sprung that on her. It wasn't on the paperwork, but I thought about it. But I love this verse of scripture. I live by it. I sit and quote it to myself sometimes, and when I get in trouble, I'll read it. Amen. There you go. That's why I don't tell anybody that's my favorite verse of scripture, because all y'all going, that guy's crazy. It simply says, Elishama, Eliada, Eliphelet. Eli in Hebrew says God does something. Elishama, God hears. Eliada, God knows. Eliphelet, God will deliver. Amen. You know, when I read them three boys' names, I realize they're not even listed in the order they were born. They were just stuck off there so God could put a little nugget right in the middle of the genealogies of David. And I look at it and I go, my Lord God, you have given me a verse of scripture I can hang on to, because every time I get in trouble, I stop and say, wait a minute, my God hears my prayer, and my God knows the trouble I'm in and where I am. He knows better than OnStar where I'm at. Amen. And not only that, he knows what it's going to take to bring me out, but he also has the power to do it. Amen. Just to be able to say I'm going to do it's one thing, but when I got a God that can speak peace in the midst of a storm, can put joy in the midst of my sorrow, can make me have all the things disappear in my life because he's God, then I understand he can deliver. Could you say amen? The children of Israel are standing there at a time like that. I know somebody said, they say, preacher, why you want to preach like that in a time like this? Gas prices are high. Food's going up. Always happens when gas goes up. Food's got to go up because they got to pay more to get it to the store. Grain prices are going to go up because we flooded a bunch of the grain. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow to cause something else to go up. The whole United States is teetering on the eve of bankruptcy. Not individually, but the country. If we go bankrupt, we're all broke. Well, can't we fix it? Probably not. Because the Bible said in the last days, perilous times were going to come. Men would be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, incontinent. We're living in that day. The scripture I just quoted to you is being fulfilled right before your very eye. And we need to understand when those things are happening, we need to understand there's not but one thing we can do. I can't fix it. I can't make it right. But I can stand still. And I can see the salvation of God in my life. I can see a God work that I didn't think could work before. I can see the children of Israel when Moses said, stand still. And some guy at the bottom of the feast looking at him and saying, what are you talking about? We got an army fixing to wipe us out. We've got the enemy on the north, and we got the mountains on the north. We got the enemy in the back. We got fortified cities to the south, and nothing in front of us but a big old sea and nowhere to go. And Moses said, but if you'll stand still, you're going to see the salvation of your God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't see the answer because you're too busy looking at the problem. Hello? They arrive at the Dead Sea, at a dead end, at the Red Sea, and they don't know where they're going to go. They don't know what they're going to do. Isn't the Bible full of people like that? Abraham and his wife's 90-something years old, can't have kids, and God says, you're going to have a herd that's going to outnumber the sands of the sea. And his wife laughs. In case y'all really think you can think about stuff and God don't know about it, realize the minute she laughed within herself, God spoke to Abraham and said, your wife's laughing at me. So next time you think you got a thought and he didn't think it for you, or help you think it or know what you thought, realize he does. I've always lived by this. He knows what you think. He knows what you think you thought, and he knows what you think you're going to think about tomorrow. Glory. Hello? What makes him different from the devil? The devil don't know what you're thinking unless you run your mouth. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, why do you think the devil makes it bad on me when I'm sick? I said, because everybody you pass, you make sure they know every detail. I've seen people with a hangnail and you thought they were dying. Come on, church, smile at me. There ain't nobody like it around here. Moving over so the lightning don't get close. Glory. Hello. But the truth of the matter is, we've got to let God take hold of our lives no matter what's going on. We've got to realize who he is, how his power is great. Abraham's sitting there and his wife starts laughing. She said, look, I know you want to have kids. Go take my little handmaid. She's young. She can have children. And they're going to help God out. You ever notice how we try to help God sometimes? Yeah, and by helping God, what do? We mess everything up just like Abraham did. They had a son, Ishmael. Anybody got any idea who the descendants of Ishmael are? They're all them people in the Middle East that wants all the Jews dead. Because they've been mad at one another ever since the two of them was born. Striving to be the one that was going to be Abraham's seed so they could be the ones that God would bless. And isn't it amazing how the Arabs and the Muslims ended up with all the oil? And the Jews ain't got a drop. I never forget, and I'm dating myself, I was listening to the Prime Minister of Israel. Ms. Meir made the statement. They said, oh, your people so smart. She said, we ain't that smart. Said it took us 40 years to go a 2-week march because we didn't have enough sense to follow directions. Hello? And he said, when we finally decided to stop, we stopped in the only place. Ain't got a drop of oil in it. Hello? But they were led of God. And God put them there because they're his people. And they're strategically located so God could bless them. But if you ever notice something, God put them somewhere where they would have to depend on him. And that's most of the time what's going on in our lives. When God puts us somewhere, it is not because God's trying to defeat us or beat us up. He's got us there because he wants us to come to the realization, God is my only way. God is my only truth. And God is my only life. And it is in him that I will live and
move and have my being. And when you realize that, then you're not worried about a fiery furnace, and you're not worried about a lion's den, and you're not worried about a Red Sea or anything else that's in front of you, because you understand my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask or think. Could you say amen? Woo!
I had to watch, because some of you's biggest dilemma is 12 o'clock.
Although, and a guy preached at 12:30 last week, and people come up, oh, we got to get him back. Y'all threatened to hang me outside. Changed my name so y'all let me preach longer. Lord, amen. Nowhere in the Bible will you find man in more serious and hopeless condition than the children of Israel standing on the side of that Red Sea. They ain't got time to build boats. There's no ferry gonna come by and get them and boat them over to the other side. Contrary to some intelligent people, notice how I said that, who said it was the Reed Sea and it was just a swamp, trying to do away with a miracle of God. That's a bigger miracle than if they went through a sea. Because now we got water about this deep drowning a whole army to the point they ain't never going to see them again. Hello? And y'all may not understand this, but I lived on a swamp most of my life. And swamp, even in the wintertime or the summertime when it gets dry, is mushy. And you're going to run chariots through that thing so fast the wheels started coming off, because the Bible said the wheels started coming off the chariots while they was driving them. And they started telling Pharaoh, oh my God, their God is helping them. We need to quit, but it's too late. They was done down in the water. And God just said, and they disappeared right before the children of Israel's eyes. You see, if you can ever get your eyes off your problem and put your eyes on your God, you don't have as big a problem as you thought you did. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you something. I come up with this in a sermon several months ago, and some of y'all wrote it down. Some of you just looked like a calf at a new gate. But think about this. The minute you start telling your mountain about your God, instead of running to your God about your little old mountain, it's when that mountain's going to move, because the Bible said the mountains tremble at the sound of his name. And it's about time some of y'all realize it ain't about a sea, and it's not about a fire, and it's not about a mountain. It's about my God, who is able to take me beyond anything that's in front of me. Woo! Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't worried about a fire. They looked at that king and said, oh, king, do what you got to do. But our God, who we serve, is going to keep us. And if he don't, we still ain't worshiping, because it doesn't really matter. Because, you see, I'm trusted in him, and I'm either getting a shortcut to heaven, or I'm going to come out of that thing tomorrow morning with a sermon like you ain't never heard. Glory. Hello? Church, we've got to come to realize that sometimes God puts us where we are so we have a testimony that'll shake people's foundations. Amen. See, church, what you got to realize is, number one, you've already met the criteria. Abraham's family was in a covenant. And the only reason why they could depend on God was God made a covenant with them. Do you know he's so faithful that he's still keeping that covenant? Come on, church. If this country's dumb enough to turn on Israel, we can hang it up. Come on, church. I seen Philistines try to take him, and they ended wiped out. What's worse, they took the Ark of the Covenant and got smoked with something none of us wants. I ain't telling you read your Bible, but some of y'all may have them. But that's where they originated. Glory. Oh, now I got all y'all looking. Y'all act like y'all ain't never read a Bible. Glory. They took the Ark of the Covenant and God smote them with something. Hello? I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to get God on the opposite side of where I am. I want him with me, behind me, for me, and taking care of me. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Say, well, God's really not that good on his covenant. You ever read the story of Joseph? I mean, he's born with a line. God's going to take care of him. Dad blesses him. I mean, Dad, he is the pick of the litter. His brothers can't stand it. They fake his death, sell him into slavery. He ends up in a prison and finally becomes the king of a kingdom. And you know what he said about all that? He said, "You meant it for evil, but the whole time God meant it for good." Why? Because when a drought hit and a famine came, there wasn't no food anywhere else. He was in charge of the food. And he sent for Dad and said, "Bring the family. I'll take care of you." That's how they got to Egypt to begin with. But he realized, God is so faithful that he put me through everything he put me through for one reason, so I'd be here, so that God could keep covenant with my father. And a God that'll do that will keep covenant with me no matter what goes on. I gotta tell you, my friend, I've got a God who has made a covenant in his own blood, and if I'm redeemed, I've got a right to believe my God will take care of me. Hallelujah. Listen, when man was created, why was he created? God wanted to have someone he could commune with, because they loved him, not because they had to. And in the cool of the day, he'd literally come down in the Garden of Eden and walk with Adam and Eve. When trouble came, he would have been with them till they shut the door between them and God. So as long as I keep the door open, I ain't got to go through trouble by myself, because I got a God who's with me. Let me tell you something, church. There's been a lot of times in my life when my expectations exceeded what God had for me. Hello? There were times when I thought I ought to be over here when God said you ought to be over here. And sometimes I have to make my expectations fit God's expectations for my life, because he's supposed to be in charge. Hello? See, I'm all looking at me like, "Well, I'm going to get rich." Not if God don't want you to get rich. I don't care how hard you try. You'll be broke the rest of your life. Because God's going to take you where God wants you to go. And you got to learn how to fit in the scheme of what God's got. What was it Paul said? "I learned to be happy in whatever state I was in." Why? Because he understood everybody ain't going to be high priest, and everybody ain't going to be in charge, and everybody ain't going to do this. But if I can learn to be content where God's putting me, then I'm not going to be looking for stuff I don't need in my life. I ain't going to be buying lottery tickets thinking I won't ever have to work again. And then running to church talking about, "If I win, I'm going to give you money." We don't want it. Keep it. Because if you win, I don't want your money. I don't care if it build 15 churches. I'd rather be in a pup tent than use your money. When you got it, evil. Don't look at me like that. I see some of you right now want to argue with me. Gambling is wrong. I don't care how it's done, it's wrong. And I ain't taking wrong to make right. I need some more amens. Come on, church. I told you I preach the truth and I don't back up from it. You go to the casino and win $1 million, I don't want your ties. Keep them. You're not going to do you no good, no way. Because you've done wrong. You've got to repent. Oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. I know everybody's getting quiet, and you can't preach this in most churches because we got to be seeker friendly. But the truth's the truth. It's time somebody said something about it. I had a preacher's wife come to me one day. She said, "Hey, will you pray over lottery tickets?" I thought she's joking. I said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, I got about 10 of them I bought." I said, "What are you going to do with the money?" She said, "If I win, my husband will never have to work again. He can be a full-time pastor, and he's never going to make it no other way." First of all, that's a slap on the pastor. Secondly, that's a slap on God. I said, "Well, sis, what are you going to do with that money?" She said, "First thing I'm going to do is get 10% of my favorite evangelist." I said, "Who's that?" She said, "You." I said, "Get the tickets." See, that was when I actually found out how many tickets she had, because she pulled them out. I thought up to then we were just cutting up. Next thing I know, she hands me these tickets. She said, "Take them out to church and put oil on them." I said, "No, I'm not going to pray over these tickets." She said, "Well, if we win, we're not going to give you no money." I said, "I don't want your money." See, I know some of y'all sitting there going, "This guy's plumb crazy." No, he's not. I spent 35 years living for God, and I ain't gone broke yet. And I guess y'all noticed I ain't missed too many meals. And I think it's time the church started realizing it is not in the money that this country has that I'm going to make it. It is not in the government that this country has that I'm going to make it. It's not whether or not everything's going to be all right in the morning. It is God is in charge in the morning just like he is right now. And because of that, I know that I know that I know my God's going to bring me out. Oh, hallelujah. See, some things you ought to just know. Hello? It's like the woman had the job. She walking down the street. She walked by the front of a pet store. There's a big parakeet standing out there. She goes by him, a parrot, not a parakeet, but a parrot. And the parrot looked at her and said, "Whoa, you ugly." She got mad. Went and told the guy on it, said, "You stupid parrot," said, "I'm ugly." He said, "Well, I'll see what I can do." He goes out there and gets on to the parrot. Next morning, she goes by and the parrot went, "Hey, you ugly." She went and told him again. That guy took a paper and beat that parrot with it. She come by the next morning. The parrot said, "Hey." She said, "What you got to say?" He said, "You know. You know." There's some things you just know. But the point is, if I'm serving God, I ought to know that I can depend on him, that God's going to bring me out. And if I know, I shouldn't hesitate on knowing. See, some of y'all done lost my whole sermon because y'all been gambling and you upset because I said something about it. I apologize that God put it in my heart to nail your hide to the wall, but you need to pray through. Glory. Hello? I see now there'll be a vote sometime. But when you're surrounded and you have nowhere to turn, realize there's always somebody right beside you. I don't know who turned the air off or up, but I find out they're going to be worse off than them gamblers. I don't know why I could set the air and get it cool in here and somebody jacks it back up without saying a word to me and we're all fanning and burning. I'm about to die up here. Glory. Believe me, pastor ain't the one done it. I had it on 71 this morning when I came in. It ought to be cool in here, but somebody decided it was cold and turned it up. Now, because of you, the rest of us are burning up. Glory. That's good preaching. I'm going to have an altar call one morning about people turns the air conditioning up. Let them pray through. Glory. Amen. I've not lost it. I'm fixing to close. It's right at 12. Just think, you got a pre-mission. You didn't leave last night. We're still here. Glory. Amen. Realize, church, that we've got to learn that it's not in anything I'm going to do that's going to bring me victory. It's in God's power that brings me victory. It's God's power that's going to bring me out. And so many times trouble hits, we panic, and we don't realize God's not panicking over what's going on in our life because he knows. See, I was worried about what God was going to do and how God had let us down when the whole time God was in charge and he understood it and what his point was when he said, "It's not why, but how. Are you going to trust me like you've told everybody else to do? Are you going to keep crying because things ain't where they're supposed to be?" Hello? And then just to put a little ice cream on the cake, she comes back and finds out she got possibly cancer again in March of the next year. Only we handled it a little different this time. We believed and trusted in God, and God was able to bring her out again. That's why when they cut that thing out of my head, I didn't go crazy. because I suddenly realized, wait a minute, that same God is with me. And it really don't matter, because if I'm doing what God wants me to do and I'm where God wants me to be, I don't care what's going to happen. I'll see the morning sun come up, or I'll be in glory with him forever and forever, and either way I'm going to win. And church, that's the only attitude you can have. Amen. I told you, and I wasn't just playing. I mean, last year it was, you know, last year it was cancer, this year it was heart trouble. I'm already excited about next year, because I get to see God deliver me one more time, and I get to see God bring me out. I may be on the shores of the Red Sea, but I'm on the very step of a miracle. If I could just take another step, my God's going to bring me out with victory and power and glory. Amen. That scripture, Psalms 46:10. Stand with me. David made this statement: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. God, reach down and touch us with your glory and your power. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch us with your grace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.